This episode of If I Was a Betting Man is brought to you by Draft.com. Do you like fantasy sports but don't want to commit to a whole season? On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people, just like in a season-long league. Drafts last for just one night, and once you're done drafting, that is it. No trades, no waiver wire, just set it and forget it. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just $1, so there is a draft for everyone. And all If I Was a Betting Man listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code BETTINGMAN. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using the promo code BETTINGMAN when you make your first deposit. Search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code BETTINGMAN today. This week, catching up with Vinny on If I Was a Betting Man! Vinny, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How's your summer?
My summer's been great. Been working a lot.
Working a lot? Is that good?
I guess.
You guess?
I mean, on the weekends it's good. The other days are shit, but...
Because they're slow?
It hasn't been as busy as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to put those hours in for some reason.
Yeah.
No one will give me a day off, even when I beg for it.
That's because you're too valuable to the team.
Oh, man. Yeah. Real valuable. I'm just a jerk off. Who keeps on fucking taking the chair.
Shit, we can't get anybody... Call that jerk off. I don't think they're doing that. I'm sure you're a critical part of the team down there.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since Vegas. Were you worried?
No.
Some of the listeners worried? Did we get any emails?
The listeners have been complacent. I haven't gotten any emails, and I feel like they need their dose of Vinny to hold on to their interest. We had fun last week with AJ. We had a good one. But
AJ's good. AJ's winning his bet right now again. The Red Sox have been on fire.
They have been on fire.
I mean, granted, the Red Sox have also had a cakewalk of a schedule.
I mean, that's an argument. They're also killing it on offense. I think they've vastly overachieved on offense. They were good last year. They're staying healthy. They're doing all the right things.
And Mookie Betts is having just a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone else winning MVP besides him at this moment.
Not right now.
No.
So let me ask you, sticking with baseball, let me ask you, you wore your Met hat here today.
Oh, God. The only reason I have it is I needed a new one for the game yesterday that, of course, got rained out.
Got rained out last night.
Yes.
I scheduled my whole day around that game. Okay, so Juris Familia was traded on Saturday, right?
Yes, for nothing.
To Oakland for $3 million in salary and two nonsense minor leaguers, the 17th best prospect in the A's system,
yes.
And another guy who's not ranked.
And $1 million in international
pool money, which doesn't seem like much.
Keith Law came out, I don't know if you saw that article, and basically ripped the Mets, and he was like, you know what? Someone has to start talking about the Wolpons, and a Major League Baseball team in New York cannot be playing this way. And they kicked out Frank McCourt with the Dodgers when he was not running that team the proper way. And at some point, maybe we need to start looking at it where the Wolpon should not be in Major League Baseball. They are deterrent to the city. They are hurting the Players Association. A team in New York should be spending money. They shouldn't be cost-cutting. I don't care what type of season you're having.
Well,
you shouldn't be giving up a player of the caliber of Familia, as much as I do not like him.
I don't like him either.
But prospects that aren't.
That's nothing. They wanted to unload them. They could have found. It's basically just, what it says to me is they wanted to trade with them to have something else in mind to trade later. They wanted to set up. I mean, that was kind of what John Rico, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's kind of what he said in that press conference is, you know, we make a trade like this and we get in good standing and people believe that we have good intentions and that we're not going to basically screw them over in a future trade. But this was, honestly, it was a robbery. I mean, they could have gotten his salary taken care of by
anyone.
I mean,
and they could have actually eaten some of the salary and actually gotten maybe a top five prospect from someone's
minor
league system.
Set yourself up.
Which it just doesn't make sense. Unless the Mets have some long-term plan that I don't know about, some international player that's coming into the league next year that I don't know about. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. You know, like last year the Angels traded some people for extra cap money. But I haven't heard about anyone yet. And the Mets have given me just no confidence in trading. And that's why, as much as I want them to trade DeGrom,
that was my next question.
Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, well, they'll just fuck it up. So why even trade him?
Well, they are going to trade him, right? Okay, so hold on. Let's back up a second. So they should...
And Syndergaard has cocksucky. That's not a curse.
I want to... let's get to that in a second.
Like,
hold on.
Mets,
there's so much
only
with the
Mets. Could have their star player have a five-year-old disease, which the only way you get it is by swallowing piss water at a fucking water park.
Hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Yeah, cocksucky.
No major leaguer has ever gone on the disabled list
for cocksucky.
For hand, foot, and mouth disease, I think they need to make sure Familia doesn't have, like, polio or like witch's pox or like brain worms or some other disease.
I'm sure Cespedes, whatever he has, that the Mets don't know about. And then the manager comes out today and says, oh no, we're all on the same board. Like, communication here is great.
What? Maybe. No, he said in the same press conference that they had no idea that he was going to get surgery.
Like, someone let free Mickey Callaway. I actually feel bad for him. I really do. Like, the guy is in so over his head.
He's in over his head.
Like, it is, I've never seen something like it before. Like, he is, I can't even believe how he got hired.
It doesn't make sense. But you think about it, most managers have a first team and they're terrible. And he certainly has done that.
The Mets are the worst team in the National League. I want that to, like, sink in. They are in last place. They are below a team in the Marlins that were basically like, oh, we're going to be the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, we're planning on sucking. The Mets were not planning on sucking.
No.
And like I was saying before, I don't know if I said this. You're talking about spending money. They did spend money.
Oh, they did.
This year to the tune of like $80
million yeah.
to win now. And they don't want to rebuild because the thing that's important to the Wilpons is attendance. That's how they make their money.
Yes, and I'm sure they were heartbroken today when Tim Tebow broke his hand or whatever he did.
Right. So they are basically, they did this stupid move. They're going to do probably a couple more stupid moves to make a little bit of cash to make themselves feel a little bit more comfortable. And they're going to try to put a bunch of patches on a very old tire when they need a new tire. I understand they don't want to fire Sandy Alderson while he's sick, but they're going to have to, right?
Well, I think...
Why not fire him now?
I think him stepping down means... I think he's already done, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling at the end of the year they will be hiring a new GM. I think him stepping down was him saying, this is it.
Yeah.
I think that's... The Mets won't obviously fire him. They'll put him in like a posh position because they love him.
Right.
But I don't believe he will be in charge of the day-to-day operations going
ever
forward.
Again. No.
No.
He won't be.
And this three-headed whatever, I don't know what it is because it's just...
Well, it's a terrible thing because all they have to do, there's
three
guys...
Three guys who have been unsuccessful in their careers.
Yes, correct. And it's three guys who can just point at... Each of them can point at two other guys and say, yeah, it was him. Anytime something goes wrong. You need somebody that has accountability. There's got to be one guy. That's the whole point. There's one guy to take the credit and one guy to be accountable when it goes wrong.
I mean, the biggest thing, and we've talked about this on the show before, and it's just ownership. In sports, when you do not have good ownership, it shows. And the Wilpons, more Jeff than Fred, lack leadership. They lack vision. And honestly, it shows. And the Mets got really lucky 3 years ago.
Right.
They were a 500 team on July 31st. They traded for Gomez, the Flores fiasco, which, again, was a fiasco. Alderson picked Gomez. He did not pick Cespedes. Once that trade got vetoed by the other team, he went and got Cespedes. And Cespedes went on a magical hot streak. The Mets got lucky. They got lucky that certain teams got hurt. The Cardinals got kicked out, and they beat a young Cubs team.
Right.
And, yeah, they made it to the World Series. And all of a sudden, it was just like everything was okay. And this team has shown year after year that it is not okay. They do not build properly.
To go back to the analogy I said before, it's time to change the tire on the car. And for them to look at the situation right now and to say, okay, we can just change a couple of things. Do you think that they have to, like, I read articles in the Post, and these sports writers are under the delusion that they're going to somehow hold on to DeGrom. It's not possible, is it? Is it possible?
I don't believe so. I think DeGrom rightfully put himself in the right position by having his agent come out and be like, listen, Jacob wants to be here long term,
right?
But he wants a long term deal. And that was Jacob saying, I know you guys are cheap.
Right.
I know you're not going to give me that long term deal.
Right.
Here is your opportunity now. I am opening the door for you to trade me, because basically it was a passive aggressive
correct
trade demand.
Yeah.
I want to be here, but the Mets have to show me they want me here.
Right.
And I think it was the right move by him.
It was. It's the right move by him. He doesn't, I mean, you know, you got to feel for Syndergaard. Why waste your prime?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody predicted that he was going to be this good this year. He probably wouldn't have predicted he was going to be this good this year. You know, a lot of people are saying that he's the best pitcher in all of baseball, which is incredible. There's some really good names out there.
Yes.
And if I were him, I would want to get the hell out of New York.
I agree. Can I say one thing that I don't get? If you were going to trade Familia, and maybe they will trade DeGrom, why not package those two for even more prospects? Like, I'm sure there would have been a team that would have wanted both of those guys, right? Am I crazy to say that?
That's tough. I would have broken it up. I think you get more value because you want to go through, then you're getting into multiple deals.
Right. It just bothers me that the Astros are out there needing a closer and the Mets didn't, like, not call them and be like, hey, about to give Familia to your rivals. What will you do for us?
Right. Of course.
It just doesn't make sense.
That's how you do this. That's how you play this game.
Like, there was 10 days
Oakland,
till the
Oakland
deadline.
Right now is plus 1,500 to win the pennant. Right now, after getting Familia.
Yes.
Why are you trading with that team? Trade with a team that is in contention. Oakland is not in contention to win the pennant.
Not at all.
Why are you trading with them? It doesn't make sense to me. Honestly, it's at a point now, you know, I was thinking there's no way that the Mets are going to trade with the Yankees. But based on this, it seems like they don't care about anything outside of their... They have blinders on for anything outside of the balance in their checkbook, right? I think there's a chance that they could trade for the Yankees. And I'll say this also. Based on what Gary Sanchez is showing Aaron Boone, who today Gary Sanchez dogged a play after a pitch hit him in the foot. He jogged over and it cost the Yankees a run. I'll tell you what, Aaron Boone is not going to allow shit like that to go on for very long. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a package that is very impressive, including Gary Sanchez and some amazing minor leaguers, including you got Justice Sheffield. There's that Drury kid who has underperformed this year, but he is a very highly ranked prospect. I think that you're going to see a nice looking package, and it's something that the Mets could build on for 5 years.
But who knows with the Mets? It's sad. It's a really sad to see this.
Somebody's going to steal DeGrom. He's going to go to a team that's not in contention this year. And it's going to be bad for DeGrom, and it's going to be bad for the Mets.
Well, that's the story of the Mets.
It sucks. I mean, and, you know, we mentioned the Cespedes injury. He announces to a reporter after not telling, who does he even call? You know, what one of the trio of managers, you know, I guess he calls the manager and not the GM, but Cespedes, if he has the surgery, which he says he's talking about, that's 8 to 10 months.
How old do you think Cespedes really is?
I don't know.
He says he's 32. He must be like, what, 40?
I don't think so, man. He's got good bat speed. He gets around on the ball.
He does.
All right, we were talking about the Red Sox before. It's funny, if you go to different sports books, the numbers have shifted dramatically this week, and they go back and forth on who is most likely to win the AL pennant. Some sports books are giving the Red Sox better odds than the Astros right now.
I still think that's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I think the Astros have underperformed this year so far.
Yes.
They should be better than they are. The MVP from last season is having a down. It's easy to have a down year when you're the MVP, but he's not playing up to his level.
But it's still the Astros are, I mean.
They are so stacked with talent. Their pitching is unbelievable.
The bullpen's a little rocky right now.
Bullpen's a little rocky.
They gave up 10 runs in the seventh yesterday, which is crazy.
And they're going to have to, I think they're going to make a few plays before the All-Star break.
Before the trade deadline. 100%.
But, and they have so much, their minor league talent is crazy. They can get anybody.
I have to say this, and I was, you know how down I was on this team. And they're not having a good year, but they're fortunate to be in the worst division in baseball.
The Indians?
But the Indians are going to come into those playoffs being overlooked, and they're going to be the team where, you know, they didn't have to really keep throwing their pitchers every day. Like, the Yankees and Red Sox are going to beat each other up at the end.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to want to be in that one-game playoff. So they're going to keep throwing guys out there and overusing guys, and then the Indians are going to be there like, hey.
They're going to coast in.
They got Brad Hand, which I love. If that bullpen, if Andrew Miller comes back, again, the Indians have a pretty scary bullpen.
So they trade Francisco Mejia, who is like a top five prospect league-wide, as a catcher. That is valuable. So many teams need catchers. Teams in contention this year need catchers.
Yes.
They traded it for Hand, who is an all-star closer. It seems like Cleveland wants to win now.
Yes, and I agree with them.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Because of three teams named Astros, Red Sox, and Yankees.
Yes, but...
Do you think that they could beat any of those three teams, the Indians?
In the playoffs, who knows? I didn't think the Yankees could beat the Indians last year, right?
Right.
I mean, going into the playoffs, the Indians were head and shoulders better than the Yankees, and they still lost in a five-game series. So I'm not sure. I had the Indians in the World Series last year. I thought it was going to be Indians Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back, that was my World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. I still bullpen wins in the playoffs. Pitching wins.
Honestly, if that's what you think.
And I think the Indians are going to wind up getting Cabrera from the Mets. I've been hearing rumblings of that. Well, not hearing, like not like I know people, but reading about it.
So the Indians are plus 400 right now to win the AL.
And plus what, 800 to win the World Series?
Honestly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, right now I think the Dodgers really made their move.
And it was a good move.
And it was a great move.
And he's going to play third for them.
Yeah. And
I can't believe that.
And since we were talking about that Hand trade, the Padres are in really good situation. They have a lot of young talent. They have now two of the top five prospects in baseball. Tatis is number one. And the Padres are building something.
And they're doing it for nothing. They have they're not spending any money.
No.
They're very smart. I understand. It's like a Kansas City model.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't spend a ton of money. You bide your time. And every 3 or 4 years, you get a team together that's in contention.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. That's the way it should work.
Yes.
That's the way it should work. You know, you have teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox who spend to be in contention every year. And the Yankees for, you know, the past several years have shown that, I mean, up until last year, have shown that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It does not work.
And look at the Phillies and Braves, how they've come around again.
Exactly.
3-4 years. Honestly, that's what the Mets have to do.
I don't know
when you have no talent in the minor league system and also on a major league level, you need to blow it up. The Mets lineup last night, if it would have played, was just disastrous. And I love Jose Reyes. We'll always love him. How is this guy still starting?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
There needs to be someone down in that minor league level that we should be bringing up.
Of course. Doesn't make sense.
And it also doesn't make sense to me that we're playing a guy like Batista. Again, he's not playing bad, but...
No, he's playing well. I thought he's the one good move that they've made.
Yes, but if the Mets aren't going anywhere, we need to stop playing younger players.
Well, you also need to put people in the seats, and Batista does hit home runs.
He does.
Every once in a while. I don't know, man. That's a bleak scenario. That's a tough scene. But I don't know. It's crazy. So in the National League, it's really just the Dodgers and the Cubs. I mean, do you think the Phillies or the Braves have a shot at this thing?
No, I do not. The one team that I still think if they could...
You're still talking about the Nationals?
Yeah.
Really?
They're plus 1,700, right, to win the World Series?
to win the NL pennant, they are at plus 900. And to win the World Series, they are plus 2,000, according to Bet Online.
I wouldn't count them out, man. They make the playoffs, you never know. You never know about that team.
I don't know.
They have talent. They have a ton of talent.
They've underachieved. I don't know. They're going to have to, honestly, they have to be able to come back and win games in the second half. They have to be really good at this point for them to be in the mental space to win a World Series. It's so grueling. All those series in a row. I just don't see it.
And listen, I mean, the Mets are terrible, so baseball hasn't been like, I'm not like gung-ho. I've been betting it a little, but I'm really excited about football. Football season's coming.
Yeah.
Giants signed Barkley.
Yeah.
Gave him a lot of money.
Let's talk about that. Who do you think is right now the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year?
Barkley.
By far.
Right? He has to be. Is he even minus? No. He's not minus. He's probably plus 350.
No.
Plus 200.
Plus 100.
Wow.
Second place is Mayfield at plus 375.
Third place is, I'm gonna think it's not the other guys drafted ahead of him. I actually think third place is going to be Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen is in third place at plus 750.
There we go. I knew it. Just because he has the best chance of playing right from the beginning.
So this is going to be an exciting year. So let's start with the NFC. Obviously, your division is pretty stacked.
It is stacked. And I'll be honest with you. I'm excited about this year. It is because of last year and how...
Well, there's so many good storylines for the Giants. Yes. You have the redemption of Eli. You've got this young running back who's going to be exciting to watch.
I think you have a hard-nosed coach again.
And you're back to a coach that is respectable for now.
Oh, my condolences.
On Tony Sparano.
Yeah, he was a good coach.
You know,
I liked him.
Tony Sparano, he did, he overachieved at his time with the Dolphins. He's not your franchise guy.
No, but he was a good company man.
He came in, he's a good company
and
man.
By the way,
he came in, he got promoted to head coach.
How many times do you hear that someone goes to the hospital and is like, there's something wrong with me? And they're like, no, nothing's wrong. And then they
drop
that.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. He went and he was like, I'm feeling good. And they sent him home. They're like, nope, nothing to see here.
Oh, my God. That's tragic.
Like, how many I hear that all the time.
Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard that myself.
Terrible. But, yeah, the Giants are going to be a fun team to watch. I don't think they're a playoff team as of right now. But you never know from year to year. The NFL humbled me last year. So I'm not making too many bold predictions this year. The NFL last year was a humbling experience. I had never been that wrong on so many things.
What do you think about... So let's talk about a couple of interesting teams and interesting divisions. What do you think about the Atlanta Falcons and the state of the NFC South for next year?
Well, I think the Falcons are intriguing because it seems like them and Julio Jones are coming to a situation where he might not be a Falcon after this year.
Right.
The Saints, as of this moment to me, are the best team in that division.
Right.
But that division... Every year shocks with a team that comes out of nowhere. I would assume Tampa Bay is in for a long year again because of the Winston situation.
Right. Three-game suspension.
But
Dirk Cotter is a jackass.
Yes. And I can never count out the Panthers.
No. That's the thing. Every year you can't count them out. I don't count them out.
No.
I think they're going to be good.
I mean, the Saints are going to be playing now a first-place schedule, so sometimes that hurts a team.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is old. And at some point, again... Brees, Brady, some of these guys, yeah, they've consistently proven everyone wrong, but there will be a moment where they don't. Fall the time will catch up to these guys at some point.
Well, they're waiting. I mean, they're waiting to do that one last good thing, right? If Drew Brees won the Super Bowl last year, he would have retired.
Yes.
If he wins the Super Bowl this year, he'll retire. That doesn't seem likely, but they do have a good young team.
They do. I have to be honest, going into the season, but if you were like, who do you think is going to win it all? I have no idea.
Right.
Like, and I'm not even going to try to pretend I do. I think this year is going to be
a lot
really
of good
fun
teams,
year. There's
man.
A lot of good teams.
You talk about just in the NFC. You talk about we have no idea what's going to go on with the 49ers.
The Rams.
We don't know if the Rams are going to be great. The Saints might be good. The Falcons might have a comeback year. The Panthers we don't know about. The Vikings were great last year.
You would assume the Cowboys
one bad
will have
game.
You will assume the Cowboys will have a bounce back year.
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers is back.
Right.
with the Packers. So you know that team's going
to
be good.
Green
with
Bay
Jimmy
is one of
Graham.
The most likely teams to win. They're like the fifth most likely team to win the Super
Bowl. I know you're
going to
laugh at me, but the Redskins have a proven winner now in Alex Smith.
Yeah.
It's just such the NFC.
And they're the least most likely team to win the NFC East.
And then if Barkley is actually as good as he is and Eli could actually just be a serviceable quarterback, and you're talking about the weapons the Giants actually do have on offense, I don't know. Like,
well,
it's
they
just,
need a real receiver. They don't have a real receiver. They've got that tight end coming back. He was good last year.
I disagree with you. I think Beckham's a real receiver.
Well, okay, Beckham is a real receiver, but he's like a slot guy. They need a deep guy.
Agree with you. Shepard's a slot guy too. But I'm thinking that Graham's the kid Evans is,
right.
Engram is going to be there. Like,
yeah, but he's too big, man. They need a guy that can beat you in a foot race. They need that guy, the dynamic receiver that they've won with in the past.
I agree with you, but I don't. It's going to be so hard.
Their defense is going to be good. That's what they're missing. Yeah. They're missing a good wide out.
And then the AFC is, again, wide open.
It's wide open. I mean, how many years is Pittsburgh going to be in the conversation? The Jaguars, the Texans, we don't know, you know.
I mean, if Watson comes back healthy, the Texans should be a favorite in that division. But
absolutely.
The Titans are a good team. The West.
The Texans are not currently the favorite in the AFC South.
It would be the Titans.
No, it's Jacksonville.
Oh, I forgot about Jacksonville. It should be Jacksonville. I'm sorry. It should be Jacksonville.
And then in the West, Kansas City had a good year last year.
And John Gruden's coming back to the Raiders, and Derek Carr's going to be healthy. And
right. It's nuts.
It's nuts. I'm excited about football this year. I really hope they get all the other bullshit settled. And
right.
We could really go back to just enjoying the game of football.
Well, I talked about this a little bit with AJ last week about how the Dolphins were the lone team to come out and be like, our policy with regard to kneeling is this. And they immediately backed off of it because of it. There's immediate backlash by the most important component of the NFL, which is the players.
Yes, but here's the thing, and I think you know we agree on mostly most things in terms of all politics, but at some point, I have to be honest, I don't agree with the players here for this one thing. It's a company. The NFL is a company, and I thought the decision they made was a decent one, where it's just like, listen, we're not saying you have to come out and stand. We're just saying if you do have an issue, just stay back there. And I don't have an issue with that. And I think we need to understand that. I get what these plays, like, there are injustices in this country. And, yes, there needs to be something done about it. But I don't know if the NFL is the platform for that. Like, if these guys are doing it on other days, like, if the NFL is saying they can't go protest on a Monday, then I have an issue with it. But I'm saying at the game, I feel like a company can say that. If I was working at B61 and was viewing my politics to everyone, someone would come to me and be like, listen, this might not be good for business.
Correct.
So
it does.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
the kneeling does hurt their business.
I don't think the NFL is wrong for,
but
for coming.
The reason why that the players continue to do it is because there are more eyes on it. The reason why the management is saying when it's your own time, you can do it, which is probably, they would probably back that off if they were being really effective doing it in their own time. They would probably say, okay, now we don't want you to do it at all.
And I'm sure.
But the reality is it's effective. This has been an effective protest. That's why it's trying to be stopped. They are getting people to see this, and people are mad about it. And that is part of how you know it is being an effective protest. And that's sort of the point of a protest.
And I totally get that. My thing is, when a business, which the NFL is,
right,
the NFL is at a crossroads. These next 20 years for the NFL are going to be just altering. Like, no sport in the next 10 to 15 years is going to change more than the NFL.
Maybe the NBA, as it rises to become the most prominent sport.
100%. But the NFL is at a point where they need to figure things out. They can't keep losing interest. And
what they need is stars, right? They need somebody with the power that LeBron has. They need somebody with the power that the best NBA players have.
Because all I'm saying is the NBA isn't having this issue.
No, and you know why? Because the ownership and the management are with the players. They've aligned with the players in that in the NBA.
I could agree with that.
And that doesn't get Trump to tweet at the owners of the NBA. I mean, actually, I think he did maybe once. But in the NFL, the owners do, you know, the when they had the postseason meeting, the owners discussed openly Trump.
Yes.
And they're trying to avoid him saying bad things about the NFL because their ratings are down. They don't need any bad publicity. Unfortunately, the only way where this publicity could be where there could be good publicity gained from this is if a player, and it's got to start with a player, I think. If a player comes up, a star, and has speaks his mind, is well-spoken, talks about the issue, and his management and ownership back him up, that will be a positive situation that Trump won't be able to touch. Trump gets to talk about these things because the majority of the country, well, not the majority, but there is a large component of the country that look at these guys kneeling and they say, why are these rich guys, besmirching our country? And the reality is because they feel they have something to say. And I think that they should be allowed to do that. If management wants to fine them, if they want to do things outside of, I mean, even if they want to suspend them and shoot themselves in the foot, you know what I mean? One player's got to come forward, or a group, similar to how Chris Paul, LeBron, Carmelo, and Wade came forward at the ESPYs several years ago. I think the NFL, the players need to, the some larger stars that are capable of speaking on the issue, as well as a LeBron or a Chris Paul, need to step forward and talk and get on camera. There's a hair on my microphone. It's driving me nuts. Talk on this issue. And I think once that will help sway public opinion, you know, that will, you know, if you relate to people, if you talk to them, that's how you get them to get on your side. As soon as public opinion's on their side, the owners have to follow. They're running a business. They want to make money. And the only way they can do that is if they can master the public opinion.
I totally agree.
So anyway, it's going to be a crazy NFL season. I'm really looking forward to planting myself in front of a TV every Sunday for all of those hours.
I'm excited, man.
As has been my custom for a long time. Plus, the sports book just opened right near us in Jersey. Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. I'm getting myself a light box, whatever it is. It's for the seasonal depression. I'm going to get that.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Gonna get that light going. We're going at it hard this year.
Well, if you remember last year, though, that really didn't strike you until after the NFL season or towards the end of the NFL.
I think I had said the whole. The NFL season definitely helped, but those dark days, man, boy. Maybe I'll just get away for a while. Now that I could call in, maybe I'll just go.
There you go. Go to the fucking Caribbean, man.
Maybe I'll go to Caribbean for a month.
Go sit on a beach.
Maybe I'll just bring Josh with me.
Bring Josh. He can do the mixing.
Go
get a bar tending, or get a bar. Get a job tending bar on a beach somewhere.
Like Tom Cruise. By the way, yeah. Mission Impossible this weekend. Yes.
Man, you're the only one that's excited about that.
I'm super excited because this is going to be the best one ever.
The best one ever?
Yes. Honestly, so excited.
The preview looks good.
Dude, it's always good. Always good.
It seems as though, and I know you're going to be shocked by this, but it seems as though Tom Cruise's character is not in as good of a standing as he once was with the government. And they're out to get him. They're out to stop him. There's some sort of conspiracy in which Tom Cruise is a bad guy, and he's got to be stopped somehow.
Listen, just like all those stupid James Bond movies, but Tom Cruise is in it, and Tom Cruise is amazing.
It's just so strange for your love of Tom Cruise.
I love Tom Cruise.
Did you ever see that movie he did with Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, Vanilla Sky. It's
No.
The one where he's the spy.
Right, the one where he's the spy.
Yes, that's a great one too.
Just like Mission Impossible. That movie is bizarre.
The Vanilla Sky, that scene with Cameron Diaz is good when she just drives the car off the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the bridge?
No, it was off the bridge, not a cliff. Sorry, that's Thelma and Louise.
Yeah. I always get those two movies mixed up. I honestly, I like the original Spanish language Vanilla Sky. Did you ever see that one?
No, I have not.
That's also with Penelope Cruz. She played the same part in both of them.
Penelope Cruz is hot.
But the Spanish language version, I feel like the Tom Cruise one.
I love it. That's great. And Cameron Crowe's
amazing. My Name is Earl was in it.
Yes. He's in a bunch of Cameron Crowe movies.
What's his name?
Jason Lee.
Honestly, Cameron Crowe, he's let me down lately, man. What's the last good Cameron Crowe movie?
Vanilla Sky.
I didn't even like that one.
Almost Famous.
That's going back a ways.
That's 1999.
1999.
Right? I think it's 99, maybe 2000. Oof. Hey, I met this interesting guy last night. I kind of want to bring him on the podcast.
Oh, you met a new guy?
Yeah. This guy, Dan, big Yankee fan from Syracuse, big Syracuse fan.
Really?
So you'd really like him. I've always thought of myself as the encyclopedia of sports.
Oh, yeah? This guy's better?
He's better.
Wow.
Like, he got the question that I always give to people in 3 seconds, which is who are the only three players to win back-to-back MVPs that are not in the Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's tough.
And he gave me a great question. I'm going to ask you if you know it. I did not know it. I knew two of
was
the three.
Was Pete Rose one of those three guys?
No. But man. Bonds is, obviously.
Obviously.
The other two are tough. But he gave me a question. Name the three players who have played for the Mets, Yankees, Giants, and Dodgers.
Oh, my God. There's no way I could get that.
I knew two of them. But the other one was crazy. The two I knew were Darryl Strawberry.
Okay.
And Jose Vizcaíno.
Okay. I might have gotten Strawberry, but
the last one just blew me out. And this guy, like,
is it in a Lou?
It is not. He used to be the top prospect, but in the Yankee system in the 90s. Maybe that's the hint he gave me. I could not get it. But this guy was just amazing. Like, I want to get him on the show just because of he knew everything. He knew dates. Numbers.
I mean, people love hearing dates talked about on a podcast.
No, but just the way. And he's a Syracuse fan.
No, honestly, I would get him on. He would probably show me up.
And he's a big gambler and a fantasy football guy.
Is that right?
Yeah. All
right. Well, we should get him on before we start the football season.
Are you? Do we have any new teams in our league this year? Are we ready?
I don't think anybody from last year left. So
okay, good.
We got the same. We got 14 teams in our B61 Fantasy Football League, and we're ready to go.
I think this year we should make it that the team that finishes in last has to do something embarrassing.
You know, we tried that.
Or at least double something. I think we should do something.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we have everyone vote and one the last? Well, I don't know. It seems kind of unfair. I was going to say you could vote one of the bottom three teams out. Like one of the bottom three guys out of the league.
Ooh, that would be fun.
So it's a little mean.
It's a little mean.
Plus, if I was one of those teams, which...
You would probably get voted out.
I would definitely get voted out. I started this league. I've been the commissioner of it for... This will be our sixth year. And everyone would vote me out.
I think this year we should start. Whoever comes in last... The next year has to pay for the spread, for the draft.
I could do that.
Right?
I could be into that. But it's got to be, we need something else, too. We need something a little bit,
more embarrassing, right?
Well, just a little bit, like, some more teeth to it. You know what I mean?
We should think of something.
Because the spread for the draft is, like, you know,
a couple hundred bucks. Because I'm starting to think, like, and I've been talking to a bunch of people in fantasy, there needs to be a way to keep people involved the whole year. Because that's the problem where you get some of these people who once they're
out,
they check out, and it's not fair.
No.
It's not fair to the league when someone doesn't put in that lineup, but doesn't.
Exactly.
And
100%.
There's something to be said about that.
All right. Honestly, if anybody listening has any ideas for that, email us at ifiwasabettingmanpod@gmail.com, and we will read that on the podcast. Any idea, there are no bad ideas. Because we can get, it'll maybe a bad idea, we'll get our brains working so that we can figure out a good idea. So what else, Vinny, as we wind down here? Are there any other major sports events?
The only other thing we have not talked about was, and we were both right about it from months ago, when I said I would put my life on it.
Was LeBron going to LA? Yeah.
So, but, and again, the NBA, like you just said a couple of minutes ago, they are the number one sport.
They're not there yet, but they will be there.
They will be.
They'll be there in the next 5 years, I think.
And what's good for the NBA, I'm excited, man. The Knicks are finally doing things right.
So how about the Knox pickup? Are you a fan of Knox?
I am a fan.
He's playing well, and he's doing everything right.
And guess what? Porter, after all said and done, Porter's having a second back surgery. So the Knicks, right. as much as fans were booing and as much as – I don't remember how the conversation went with me and you when we were talking about that. I'm excited. I think the Knicks are finally doing it well. They have enough salary for two guys.
Right.
And the NBA is in good shape. The NBA has the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Nets with the most salary cap room next year.
Right.
The NBA is in good shape. The Nets have made some phenomenal moves.
Yeah, the Nets are going to be interesting.
And guess what? I really, gun to my head, Jimmy Butler is going to wind up either on the Knicks or the Nets next year.
Yeah.
With
only,
Irving.
Yeah. With Irving?
I think Irving and Butler are going to wind up on
after next season.
After next season.
I don't know about what about
Klay Thompson at some point? Will Klay maybe leave Golden State?
I think he'll go. He might leave Golden State, but I think he'll end up on the Clippers.
The Clippers, okay. See,
the Clippers are going to be in a good position to build, and they're going to have that max contract space. Why not give it to Klay?
I mean, I got to be honest. As a Knicks fan, I want, out of anyone, I want Jimmy Butler.
Really?
He's the most realistic.
What about Durant?
Durant's not leaving Golden State.
After, what if they win a title next year? Why wouldn't you leave? I would leave.
Do you think Durant wants to be a mercenary his whole career and just go city? I mean, I guess New York.
He already
would
is. He wouldn't be a mercenary. He'd be going to New York where they probably would be. Honestly, if they keep going, if Ntilikina keeps improving, honestly, the guy that's impressed me a lot is Ntilikina. He looked like, I watched highlights of several of their summer league games. He looked like he was better than the players on the floor. He looks like he shouldn't have been there.
Yes.
He looked good.
He looks good. And the Knicks have finally realized that he's a better off the ball guard.
He has to be off the ball.
And no, he looks good. I'm excited about the Knicks. I really am. But I just don't see. I think Durant is going to stay in Golden State. I think he likes Golden State. It's great.
That team
ownership
is going to implode at some point.
No, I don't think it will. I think at some point Green will be gone. I think Draymond Green will be gone.
He's critical.
And he's critical, but Durant and Curry can still win a lot together. And let me tell you, the Rockets are really, really, really going to be disappointed in signing Carmelo Anthony.
Honestly, they signed him for the veteran minimum. It's like $2.5 million.
Did he sign?
No, okay. It's not done. But
I keep hearing the Heat, but I can't see him not going.
Well, right
unless
now,
he really wants to start. But
right,
you know
that's
what?
The thing is, right
Carmelo,
now they're talking about how he's not going to start. Like, that's what they're talking
Carmelo,
about.
Carmelo, you're not a starter. Get it through your head. You've made enough money. You're not a starter. And bravo to the Thunder for making a great trade. Schroeder as a backup to Westbrook. The Thunder are going to be heard next year. The Thunder, everyone.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they beat?
They could.
If they beat the.
The Warriors? They could.
No. If they beat the Rockets, I was going to say.
Oh, I think the Thunder could beat the Warriors.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
It'll be. Listen, it's going to be fun. Yeah, the Lakers are going to be just a wild card. And
they're not going to. Do you think they're going to make any more moves, the Lakers? You think they're going to go with this team and wait until one of those contracts comes up?
They're
going
to go for this team. They'll see how midseason goes. Listen, if things aren't working out for the Raptors at midseason, they might trade Leonard. If they know they can't, if he's not going to sign back, the Raptors might trade him.
What if we have the same thing with Leonard that we had last year? What if he's just a brat again all season?
Well, he is.
And he just doesn't show
again,
up.
Again, and I was so happy David Robinson came out. And the last time I was on the show, all I spoke about were the Spurs and how they've treated players for years. And Robinson came out and was like, this is a team that has gotten criticized for not playing its players, for being, you know, for being on the player's side, of being cautious. And to have some
over
guy
and
come
over
out,
again.
And to have some guy come out.
Loyalty
and be
over
like,
players over trying to win a title. Yeah, over and over again.
And to have some guy come out and be like, no, they were totally against me. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm starting with the Spurs. Leonard, he's a great player, but he has some personality issues, something going
right.
on. And I don't think it's going to change in Toronto. I know the Raptors had to give, they had to do something, but I think it was terrible how they treated a guy who was very loyal to them.
So my take on Kawhi, I've been thinking about this a lot. My take is this, because he's a quiet guy, right? He's a quiet guy that was able to have success in San Antonio.
Oh, that's a bad era.
Tampa Bay's killing the Yankees right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
No.
It's 4-1. That error is not a big deal, and it's a Severino start, and Severino has not looked good today. I'm kind of bummed. We're recording this on Monday night as Tampa Bay is currently.
You know what I'm not bummed about?
Pounding on the Yankees.
That the Pirates, it's in rain delay. So the Pirates were plus 240 tonight against the Indians. The Pirates are on a 9-game winning streak.
Yeah, the Pirates are playing well.
So I put 300 on the Pirates, and they're up 4-0. But it's in a rain delay.
What inning?
Third, but rain delay. The Pirates are sneakily good, too.
It's sort of a huge pool of mediocrity in the National League.
It is, but it's going to be fun, man. I'm excited. We're almost in August, you know. I think it's going to be a good sports year.
So far, it's been great. But anyway, going back to what I was saying before, you got Kawhi, who's a quiet guy who was able to succeed on the Spurs, where I think most teams, you know, they sort of put their arms around players on the Spurs and let them sort of be themselves, and they support their players, and, you know, they don't pit players against each other, which is a very common NBA thing. Right? So I think he's a quiet guy. He was able to succeed in that system. Now he's in a position where he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking to other people.
And it's weird. His uncle's in charge. It's just the
way. Well, his uncle might not be in charge, but he needs to be his own mouthpiece. Him letting other people tell him, because all he's hearing, if he's not in the meeting speaking for himself, then he's talking to people who only tell him how great he is. He needs to go to the meeting and be told, stop acting like a petulant child.
And LeBron James had to learn that.
And it took him some time. And I'll tell you what, when he came out with the decision, which has been widely criticized, I think history is going to look back at the decision and be like, oh, he was just ahead of his time.
Yeah.
I think that eventually is going to be what players do. You know, he made money for charity. He did, you know, that. Look, in hindsight, the decision isn't that big of a deal.
No.
You know, everybody was like, oh, he's leaving Cleveland, you know, the city where he's from. And
who wouldn't want to leave Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Especially when he was already disagreeing with the owner. He came back despite the fact that the owner, you know, had a public burning of his jerseys and stuff. You know, that situation is with that owner is nuts. It's, you know, whatever. Enjoy the next 10 years of mediocrity in Cleveland as he takes down the LeBron sign, you know, poster outside of the stadium 3 days later. It's like, you know what? Leave it up. Put up a poster that says, thank you, LeBron.
Yeah. Stop being such a.
He gave you a title. When's the next Cleveland title coming? I mean, can you like, it's not. It's not coming. You know, unless a kid who's like 12 now, because we would probably have heard of him, is going to be as good as LeBron. It's the next generation's LeBron. But I mean, also the second best player in NBA history. All right. So I think that Kawhi is going to continue to fuck up as long as he is not being his own mouthpiece. As long as he is not sitting with the management, talking about what he wants, as long as he's letting other people speak for him, he is not going to get anywhere in his career.
And guess what? For a guy who can't speak up for himself, does anyone really think that LA is the right market for him? Like, this is what I don't get when people keep saying, oh, he's definitely going to LA.
I think it would be with LeBron there.
Okay. I could
Because LeBron will help him.
Okay.
LeBron will say, what do you want? And then when he says what he wants, and LeBron will say, that's dumb. This is what you want.
How many do you think LA is LeBron's last stop?
Yeah, I think that's the plan, right?
Right.
I mean, what would you do? I think if he can win a title in LA,
then he's won with three teams, and not many players can say that.
He can Kobe out the rest of his career in L.A., and he can sit next to Magic Johnson in meetings, and he can become a billionaire and be on his way to owning his own NBA franchise, which seems like what he wants to do. So, I mean, maybe the next owner, maybe the next title won in Cleveland is under LeBron James's ownership.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that?
That would be.
That would be something.
That would be something.
You know?
And he'll be an owner somewhere. I mean,
he could be a partial owner, you know, somewhere. But I think he wants to be a majority owner GM. I think he wants to handle. Already you can tell he likes to handle everything. He wants to set the beer prices in the stadium.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's like, what is this non-butter flavoring on the popcorn? We're switching to real butter tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He wants to make all of those calls himself. He's a micromanager in a way that hasn't always been good for his career because he took on too much, like his run in Cleveland after the title. But I think it will serve him well when he's an owner. All right, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks, as always, to the great Josh Archer for helping us out, set this up.
Thank you, Josh.
We are live in the Betting Man Loft. It's been a while since we've been up here recording a podcast. And as always, thank you to Draft.com. I have not had good luck on Draft.com lately. I had such a good run, but I still can't stop. I keep coming in second place.
We need to start talking. Maybe next week we could talk about that draft that they're doing, like that big one.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yes.
Next week, and if you can't come on the podcast next week, we can have a call in and we can do a talk about everything that you can win. And honestly, it is a very appealing. As far as online large pool drafts go, especially for the NFL, they seem like you have no chance because people manipulate the system using algorithms and all that. This is you pick your team and you enter and you have a shot.
Hey, when is opening? Is opening day the 13th or the 6th? I'm just curious. The one other thing we should see. I'm gonna go see the Mr. Rogers movie right now. By the way,
is that right?
Yeah, I'm excited. Is it the 6th or the 13th?
I am doing a Google search right now, so we'll just wait for that to come back. It is the 6th.
Okay, so we're close, man. We're there.
Yeah.
We're there.
Just over a month out. A month and 2 weeks.
You know what my best bet of week one is, right? Jaguars -4 against the Giants, as much as I love the Giants. That is a bad week one matchup for them.
That's a tough matchup. Honestly, though, the Giants could come out. I mean, honestly, this Saquon Barkley kid, he might be. It's crazy that it's shifted back to running backs in the NFL. It's such a crazy thing. It's so
crazy.
Fun. All right, folks, thank you for listening this week. Tune in next week for another episode of I Was a Betting Man!